last shiur on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, on the bottom of the page, we saw the Mishnah Elu Dvarim She'ein Lahem Ona, and on the list we have Avodim Vashtaros Vakarkos Vakdeshos. And let's just mention that with regard to Karkos, he overcharged him, or he underpaid him for a piece of real estate. And we have a hekesh, we'll see, between Eved and Karka. Overcharged him for an Eved. And in the case of Shtar, he overcharged him for a Shtar. We'll have to see what happens if he sold the Shtar itself as a heft of Niyar, or just the paper, the parchment of which it was written on. That's a little bit different. That's already Gufo Mamon. But what's the case of Hekdeshos? Who's selling what? I mean, in the case of Hekdesh. So if you take a look here in the Mefarshim, you'll see that there are two possible scenarios here. One is that the Gizbar, who's in charge of Hekdesh, he sold a Chafetz of Hekdesh. So when a person is magdish something to Berech HaBayis, that object is given over to the hands of the Gizbar. He's in charge of supervising all of Hekdesh, and he sold the object. Another scenario is where a Hedjot, who's not a Gizbar, he was magdish a behema for a Korban Ola. And a Korban Ola, of course, is Kodshei Kodshim. And Kodshei Kodshim is no longer Mamon Bailin. It doesn't belong to him. So in that case, how would he possibly sell it in such a way that there would be a possibility of Onah? And the answer is Shenafal Bamum. And if the animal has a mum on it, if you take a look, Rashi, three lines up from the bottom, Olaso Shenafal Bamum, then it becomes Psuya Mekdoshim. And Psuya Mekdoshim, to some extent, loses its status as Kodshim Mizbeach, because it can no longer be brought on the Mizbeach. And now it becomes Momen Bailin. So you might ask, why does Rashi give the example of a Korban Ola? Because if it was a case of a Korban Shlomim, then a Korban Shlomim, we paskin, is Momen Bailin. That's according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that we learned back in Bava Kama on Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis. And Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and Shlomim is Momen Bailin. And if Shlomim is Momen Bailin, then it no longer has the exact status of Hekdesh, and it would be subject to Onah. Rashi is looking for a case where, because of its status of Hekdesh, and it's not Momen Bailin, there's no Bailus, therefore there is a possibility of Onah, which the Torah is excluding, and that's going to be these two cases. So Bulineta will talk about this more as we go along. Now on the top of Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, we have the case of Kodshim Shuchayev Bachri Yusam according to Rav Shimon, and that's a case of Dovar Gorim Lamaman Kemaman Dami, and therefore there will be Bailus even though it's Kodshim. And that's the case where he says Harei Alai, and we discussed this in the last shiur. So now we're up to the Gemara Minani Milu. The Gemara now is going to analyze the drashos that form the sources for these halachos that exclude Onah in the various cases. So we have the Tanur Rabbanan Braisa, and this Braisa starts with the parish of Shemitah and Yovel at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Vayikra Chaf Hei. And there's halacha of of Shemitah of Yovel. In the case of Yovel, the karka goes back to its original owner, the 50th year. And it says, V'chisimkru mimkar lamisecha o kano miyada misecha. And we're going to be emphasizing those two words, miyada misecha. The pasuk continues and says, al sonu ish es achiv. Now, in the greater context, this parsha is referring to karka, because the law of Yovel applies to karka, but there's a parsha, so to speak, within the parsha. It's a smaller parsha. And that's this, o kano miyada misecha, al tonu ish es achiv, which is the parsha of Onah. And on that smaller parsha, we have this drasha of the Braisa, Dovra Nikna Miyad Liyad. It's something that you can pick up by your hand, which is a movable metaltalin, and you can pass it on to the hand of the lokeach and transfer ownership through Miyad Liyad. So Kinyan Yad is something that applies exclusively to metaltalin and not to karka. Yotsu karkos she'enon mitaltalin. In other words, you can't take a karka, piece of real estate, pick it up and hand it over from one hand to the other. And therefore, it's excluded here from the parish of Onah. As I said before, the parish in general here is talking about karkos. You can't say it's excluded, you know, karka is out of the parish. The whole parish of Yovel is referring to Mechiras Karkos. So how can you tell me the pasuk here is coming to exclude karka? But the answer is that within this pasuk, there's a lot, there's an Isra Onah, and that applies exclusively to Metaltalin. Yotzu Avodim. Now what about an Eved? An Eved, in theory, you can pass on from hand to hand. It's a Dora Nikna Miyad Liyad. Nevertheless, we have a Hekesh between Avodim and Karkos. And this is a Sugya in Masechta Yedushin Adaf Chav Beis Amid Beis, darshaning a posuk in that same parsha of Vayikra Chav Hei, but here we fast forward to posuk Mem Vav. The posuk says regarding Eved, Visnachaltem Osam Livnechem Achrechem Loreshes Achuza. The word Achuza is a reference to Estei Achuza. And the pasuk itself is referring to avodim. So there's a hekesh here between an eved and an achuza, stei achuza, which is the famous hekesh between eved and karka. So here we're deriving the halacha of onah with regard to eved from karka, from the din of karka. And it makes sense that in terms of the sequence as presented here by the Mishnah, we should have karka first and then eved second. It's a little bit odd that the Mishnah puts eved, which is the derivative karka, first and then karka second. The Rashba points out that the Mishnah wants to be makdim first eved, because there's a halach of chavivus in Torah Baal Peh, that which is derived from a drasha, is chavivale, which is a gemara in two places, in Bava Kamma and in Yevamos. Furthermore, he writes that the chiddush is a greater chiddush in the case of Eved, because it is closer to metaltalin. In Heftza, in terms of the essence of the biological being, the material, it is metaltalin. It's Nimsar Miyad Liyad, but nevertheless it has what we call a shame karka as far as Onah is concerned. And the question of whether or not you can have an apotiki, asoa eved apotiki, means a special shibud from the lova to the malva on an eved, that might depend not on the shame karka, but on the cheftza shel karka. And therefore, it could be that there is no shibud on eved as there is on karka, even though eved hukash the karka, because there we need the betichus of a shibud. as far as Shmu is concerned, we have Aloch of Einish Bon Al Karkos, that depends on the Shem Karka, and that will apply to an Eved as well. Now the Brisa concludes with these two cases of Karka and Eved, and the Gemara now goes on in the Mishnah to discuss the case of Shtar. And the Gemara has a miyu to exclude Shtar from the parasha of Onah. Yatsu Shtaros, there's no Onah in the sale of a Shtar. Dichsiv, because in this same pasuk that it starts by saying Vechitimkru Mimkar, and the Torah wants to add the word Mimkar, is Gufo Shegufo Machur. In other words, it has intrinsic value. That's called Gufo Machur, or Gufo Mama. The Gufo Kanui, and when you sell it or transfer ownership on it, it is Gufo. Yatsu Shar Staros, this excludes a Shtar. She'ein Gufon Machur. When you sell a Shtar, you're not really selling the Gufa Shtar. For example, if let's say the Lova gives a shtar to the Malva, if the Malva sells the shtar on the market, the buyer is not getting the shtar itself. That's not what he's purchasing. The shtar is worth a pruta. He wants to purchase a shtar chov that's worth 1,000 to collect that chov. So that's called Yatsu Shtaros She'ein Gufan Machur V'ein Gufan Kanui. The buyer is not going to use the Gufa shtar, but he's going to use the Rayas Hashtar. Is Enom, the Enom Omdim Ella Liraya Shebohem. The value that you're transferring in the case of a sale of a shtar is vis-a-vis the proof, the raya that that shtar, that document serves to allow the buyer to collect that chov from the lova, who is the mischayev. Now, in general, just for your own ideas, the question of Mechiras Shtaros is a gigantic machlokas rishonim as to whether or not Mechiras Shtaros are d'oraisa or d'rabbanon. The Rambam Shita is that Mechiras Shtaros in Perek Vav Milchus Mechira is only valid mid'rabbanon. You cannot sell a shtar mid'oraisa. Tosus in Baba Basra is of the opinion, and this you'll see on Daf Ayin Zayin in Baba Basra, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that Mechiras Shtaros is meaningful to Oraisa, and many Rishonim agree with Rabbeinu Tam. Tosis brings a raya to the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam here at the beginning of our Daf, Yatsu Shtaros. And he says, "Midamamayit lehu meono mashma dechal hamecher midoraisa bishtaros." The very fact that that the Torah went out of its way to exclude ono, to exclude shtaros from ono in the case of mechiras shtar, means that the Torah recognizes the validity of mechiras shtar. That would be a raya for shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos, however, rejects this raya. He says it's not a complete raya, because the truth is that you could have onah and shtaros even without mechira. For example, let's say in a case where the malva extended a loan to the lova balpeh without writing a shtar, and then the malva pays a separate amount of money to the lova in order to induce the lova to agree to write a shtar in this halva, and to convert the shtar, to convert the milva from a milva balpeh to a milva b'shtar, and this way the malva is kone shibudim, such that he can collect his money, his loan, from lekuchos, in event that the lova sold karka and the lova defaults on the loan, the malva now has recourse to collect his chov from the lekuchos based on the shtar. Also, the shtar gives the malva emunus to contradict a taina on the lover's part that he paid up the chov because the malva is holding on to the shtar. Now, if the lover takes money from the malva for purposes of writing the shtar, then the question is, what if the lover takes a sum of money, demands some money that is greater than the value, the objective value of the writing of the shtar, and then the malva suffers onah. He's the nisana, and therefore we need an exclusion for this kind of onah of shtaros, such that the malva is not allowed to get his money back for the purchase, in quotation marks, of the shtar. So it could be that even the Rambam, who holds that in general mechira shtaros in the Rabbanon, might agree that in this case there's a mechira shtar d'oraisa, and there's no onah, there's no chalos din onah in this vis-a-vis this mechira. Now, we have a case of selling the shtar as a raya, meaning the malva sold the shtar raya over to a lokeach, and that's excluded from onah. What about the case where the owner of the shtar sells the shtar for its intrinsic value? That's already gufo machur. So the Braisa now continues and says, Mikan Amru, with regard to this mute of shtaros, Hamocher shtarosov libasom. Now, basom is a seller who sells besamim. And these besamim were used to cover kalim and, let's say, inside the kalim he might have certain foodstuffs, so what he wants to protect it, give it a certain good smell, he puts besamim into these kalim, and now he wants to cover these kalim and protect them, so he buys the shtar, because it's a very hard, you know, vellum, it's very, the parchment is protective, in order to cover these kalim, which have besamim in them. Is in this case yesh lahem onah, and one could wonder what's the chiddush over here. Here he's not selling the rayas hashtar; he's selling the gufo shel shtar as a piece of niyar in order to use the shtar itself, and that's a classical kinyan on metalflin. So the Gemara asks pshita, why would I think otherwise? So the Gemara answers lafuki min Rav Kahana. We have a shita Rav Kahana back on daf nun hey. The Omer Eino No Lefrutos, if a person was overcharged or he underpaid for a mekach, for a sale, that's only worth a few prutos, then there's no din of Ono. And therefore this shtar is only worth a few prutos. And the shita of Rav Kahana, you may recall, back on Daf Nun Hei, is that the shear of onah from mekach is the shear of an isar. The isar is a coin that's worth 8 prutos. And if the sale is on an object that sells for less than 8 prutos, then there's no onah. That's the way Rashi learns Rav Kahana. However, there is a shita of the Rosh that the shear of onah, according to Rav Kahana, is a ma. A ma is worth 32 prutos. But in any event, if the sale was, let's say, a pruto, or anything less than 8 prutos, for sure, according to Rav Kahana, there's no onah. The Rambam has a unique shita that, according to Rav Kahana, only if it's one pruta, exactly one pruta, there's no onah. Kamash Malon, the Braisa wants to teach us that the reason why ain onah b'shtaros is only because ain gufo machur. If it was a mechira on the gufa shtar, there would be onah For example, if he sells the shtar to a basam, even though we might be talking about something less than an isar, is yesho no leprutos. Again, what the question that arises here is what Rav Kahan himself would say about this brisa. What's the chiddush of the brisa? Now we go on to the case of Hekdeshos, and we said that there's no non Hekdeshos, the Mishnah establishes. We gave the two cases before. And this is derived from the same pasuk that we started with that excluded karka, the Omar Kra, when it says, Al Tonu Ish Es Achiv, and the word Achiv here should be underlined. Achiv velo Hekdesh. Hekdesh is not private ownership. So when you have private ownership of a hedgeot, then it's achiv and it's subject to the din of onah, but not in the case of hegdesh. The Gemara Bechoros on Daf Yud Gimel offers two different miyutim from this very same pasuk. One is from O Kana Biyad Amisecha, the other is Altonu Ishes Achiv. One is coming to exclude a guy, that there's no din of onah by a sale to a guy, and the other one is coming to exclude hegdesh. And it would seem that from our sugya that the word amisecha comes to exclude goy, the word achiv comes to exclude hegdesh. Let's go on. Maskif law. Maskif law. Rabba bar mamol. Since the brisa darshins o kano miyad to exclude karka, is it true that the word miyad excludes karka? Kol hecha dechsiv yodo, whenever we find the word yad in the Tanakh, does that exclude karka? Because yodo mamashu means something that you really literally pick up in your hand. El miyato, I'll show you a pasuk where the word miyad or miyodo does not refer to metaltalin exclusively. Dechsiv, in the case of Sichon Melech HaMori, this is in Bamidbar Chaf Aleph, where he fought a battle against the king of Moab, the first king of Moab, the Torah testifies, Vayikach es kol arzo miyodo ad arnon. So you see that in this battle of Sichon against Moab, Sichon took the lands of Moab, confiscated those lands in battle, miyodo, literally from his hand. And if you take a look at that parasha, you'll see that Bnei Yisrael conquer the city of Cheshbon and other cities around it. Even though Cheshbon is part of Eretz Moav, and there was an Azhar against Klal Yisrael not to battle against Moav and not to conquer the land, it was mutter because Sichon took over these lands, Cheshbon and the cities around it, from Moav. So the Bnei Yisrael never conquered these lands and confiscated them from Moab directly. They took them from Sichon Melech HaMori. In any event, since the Torah says Vayikach es kol arzo miyodo, we see that the word Yad could be used even to refer to Karka. Is Hachinami, are you going to tell me the Chol Are Biyode Avinokit lo? In other words, whatever the Torah says, Eretz, as it says here, Arzo, and it says Biyodo, Miyodo, in this case from Melech Moav, is that the Torah seems to introduce the word Yado, that he took it from the Yad of the Melech Moav, Ella, but rather, it doesn't mean literally Yado, it means Mershuso. But in any event, if that be the case, that he took it from Mershuso, he took it from his control or his domination, is then it doesn't necessarily mean that Yodo excludes Karka. Hachanami here too in the Pasuk Okono Miyad in the parasha of Onah, it means Mershuso. So he purchases Karka from the Rishus of the Mocher, and there is Onah here. The Torah is explicitly saying there's Onah. So the Gemara is not happy with Rabba Bar Mamal's question. What do you mean, Rabba? Are you saying v'chi kol hecha dechsiv yado lav yado mamishu? Whenever we see the word yad in the Torah, we assume that it means reshuso and not yado. You took it out of his control. Vasanya, we have a brisa. The Gemara is now going to quote two brisos, both of which presume that yodo means yodo mamish, which means that the pasuk that you're quoting, Rabba, regarding sichon, is the exception to the rule rather than the rule. And now we start for the first price with the chiyuv of kefel in the case of a ganav. And the pasuk says in Shmos Chav Beis, im himotzei timotzo biyodo. Then the pasuk says agneva mishorat chamor atze chaim shnayim yishalim. He pays kefel because we found the gneva in his hand. Ein li ela yodo. So this price assumes that the word yodo has to be taken literally, and it's only applicable to metaltolin. Is gago chatzera v'karpifo minayin? How do we know that if we find the gneva in the, not in the hands of the ganav, but in the karka of the ganav, the chatzera of the ganav? In other words, the animal went into a rishus, it roamed into the rishus, for example, of a person who now wants to steal the animal, and he locks up the animal in his gag. He has a fence around his roof or a fence around his yard, his chotzer, karpifo, which is called a makom mukaf gader, any place that's surrounded by a fence, and he locks it up. Is minayin? How do we know that he made a kinyan gneva and therefore he's chayav kefel? Tamid lomar is a special ribui. Im he motze timotze, the double language, he motze timotze mikol makom to be mar begagel chatzer v'karpifo. That if he stole it in that way, he's chayav kefel. Is taima, if not for this extra limud, the kozmach mono im he motze timotze olav hochiav amina kol hecha de kosav. Yodo is yodo mamishu. We see that the premise of this brisa is that the word yodo means yodo mamish. The sutanya in a second brisa, which is referring to the maisa gerishin, in which the baal takes the get and he gives it over to the isha into her hand. And the pasuk says in Parshas Ki Teitze, the kasav la sefer kris v'nasan biyoda. It's got to be into her hand. Ein li ela yada. In other words, it means mamish into yad. Gaga chatzera v'karpifa minayin. How do you know that if he puts it into her chatzer, into her rishus hakarka, that's mishtamer, that too qualifies as a maisa gerishin tamalom v'nosan mikol makom? In other words, the Torah could have said ubiyada yitnena, and instead it says v'nosan biyada. In any event, this extra drasha teaches us that it's valid even if he doesn't put the get directly into our hands. Is time of the kosrach one of v'nosan holav hachi hafa mina the kol hecha the kosav hol hecha the kosav, wherever the Torah says yado, it's yado mamish. This is all against Rabba Bar Bar Mamol. And therefore the Gemara rejects Rabba Bar Mamol. Ella kol yodo yodo mamishu, the general rule, and that's going to apply here to our pasuk in Onah, where it says okano miyad, that it refers to metaltal into the exclusion of karka. But as far as the pasuk with regard to sicho vayikach es kol arzo miyodo v'shayni hosom delekel meimar hachi, there we cannot take the word yodo literally, so that's the exclusion to the rule. We have to reinterpret ella mirshuso, but in other psukim throughout the Torah, yodo is to be interpreted literally. Now Rav Zera is going to introduce a safek. Boy Rav Zera schirus yesh lo ona o ein lo ona. What's the status of a person who pays a rental fee to borrow, to rent somebody's animal or somebody's utensils, and this schirus on metaltolin to some extent can be viewed as a mekach, although it's a temporary kind of mekach, but since the socher gets from the maskir rights to use the object, basically he's the bailiff for that period of time. Shall we say, therefore, it's subject to the law of Onah if he overpaid him the rental fee, the market value rental fee, or Elo Onah, because this is not a Mekach. Now, it's interesting that in the case of Schiris Karka, if I rent an apartment from someone, that the Gemara doesn't even, Rav Zeir doesn't even touch upon that. That's Pshita, that just like you cannot activate the law of Onah in Mechiras Karkos, you cannot activate and apply the law of Onah to Schiris Karkos. However, it's very fascinating that the Miuchasim L'Ritva writes that the Safek Rav Zeir applies even to Schiris Karka, because Memkar in one sad in Rav Zeir's Safek, the word Memkar in the Torah is coming to exclude only Mechiras Karkos, but not to exclude Schiris Karkos. It means that this Rishon is of the opinion that Schiris Karkos is not Karka Mamish, but rather it becomes a separate Kinyan, and the Shem Karka doesn't apply to Schiris Karkos. The rights that he gets from the Karka, those Tashmishim, are not called Karka. And therefore the exclusion of Onah with regard to Karka does not apply to Schiris Karkos. In any event, now Abai comes to Rav Zeir with a definite answer to his question. Omale Abaye miksiv. Does the Torah says mimkar li olam? If the Torah wanted to exclude Schiris Karkos, it should have stipulated that what kind of mecher is subject to the law of Onah? Dafka mechar of olam, which is a permanent sale. The Torah rather is abridged here deliberately and says mimkar, stomach sieve. And mimkar means any sort of mechar, even if it's a temporary mechar. Says Abai, v'hai nami schiris is also considered mecher biome. For that day, or whatever period of time, he has rental rights. He purchases the object as if it's his, mechirahi. The chafetz is actually acquired by the socher, by the renter, for that period of time, and it's included therefore in memkar. Had the Torah wanted to exclude schiris from Onah, it would have said memkar mimkar li'olam. Now, it's clear from this sugya of Abaye that schiris is considered a mechira, therefore it's subject to Onah. And Tosis points out here in Dira Maskel Vahai, which is of course the second Tosis on the Daf, that this is relevant to other dinim. And the Gemara in Avodah Zorah on Daf Tesvav seems to assume the opposite, that Schirus is not a Memkar. But Abaye, therefore, is limited by this drasha, the extra word memkar, to define with regard to Onah, specifically Onah, that schiris is considered a kinyan. Now, Tosis is quoting a sugya of Avodah Zorah to ask his kasha, because there we're talking about the iser of selling karka as a base dira to a guy in Eretz Yisrael. And the sugya there allows the rental of a base dira to a guy because schirus lo kanya, it's not considered a kinyan. In any event, I just want to read to you a line or two from the Yamshel Shlomo the Marshal. He says that Kushas HaTosis, what Tosis was bothered by, is that you can reject this limud, this yalfusa, from the word memkar, and say that Dibre Torah rak b'mechira gemura, that in fact the Torah is only referring to a complete mechira, total mechira, to the exclusion of schirus, and afshe schirus necheves kemechira, even though when I rent something, I'm really selling you the tashmishin, the rights to use the object. I'm not selling you the guf hachefetz. The imkain minayin shegam bazer ribsa Torah's dinei onah. How does Abaye understand that there's a ribui here in this pasuk to include mechira, excuse me, to include schiris in the din of honah, because really there's no sale of the guf hacheftza. He's only selling tashmishin, and there's no reason therefore why schiris should qualify a mechira beguf hacheftz and be subject to the laws of honah, as Abai insists. And Tosa's answer is that Abaye is not just deriving it from Mimkar, but rather he sees in the word Mimkar a Yisera Dekra, meaning an extra pasuk, an extra word in the pasuk. So that even though Schirus is considered to some extent a Mechira, but to some extent it's not a Mechira, the extra word Mimkar is coming as a Ribui to include this kind of Mechira. And if that be the case, then the Torah is trying to be marbeh schirus as far as onah is concerned, to include schirus in onah. So it could be that enochinami, if you wanted to find schirus and call it tarkuli universally, schirus is not really a mecher in the classical sense of a kinyan on guf hadavar, because he's not buying the guf hadavar, he's buying and selling the tashmishim. But in the case of onah, we have a special ribui. So what we're seeing here, says Tosfos, is not the rule and the universal definition of schirus, because that would contradict the sugya in avodah zarah, but rather we're seeing the exception to the rule that it applies only to onah because of the yitura dekra. So there's a ribui to include schirus in onah. By Rava. Rava now has a safek, and this is going to be the next sugya here for a while. Chitim uzran bekarka mahu. What's the din if a person takes seeds, and in this case wheat seeds, and he plants them in the karka, and he sells the seeds. Now if these seeds take root in the karka, then they are bottled to the karka, they have a din of karka, they're excluded, and this sale would therefore be excluded from onah. But if, on the other hand, he's not going to define these chitim as bottled to the karka, because he's selling it sheyikzer on liatzmo kishiyigdalu, that the buyer is not claiming ownership or has no ownership rights in the karka, he only has ownership to the seeds as they grow. If that be the case, then the sale is not karka, and therefore this should be onah. We have a similar sugya in Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos, with regard to the laws of mukta. Now, the chitim themselves as an ochel are not subject to the law of mukta, but once he plants them in the karka, they become part of the karka. They lose their status of ochel, and therefore they're subject to the law of mukta. And here, Rava is applying this question to onah, yesh lehem onah, o ein lehem onah. He explains his study asofek here. He says, kiman deshajon bekado damyon. It's as if these chitim are placed into a container. They're still not rooted in the karka. We haven't gotten to that stage yet, and therefore they're not batel. V'yesh lehem onah, it's like metaltalin. O dilma, shall we say that since he already, you know, dug into the ground, and these chitim are now concealed by the ground, they're in the ground, is batlinu al gabi ara. Then the mocher, the owner now, did an act of bittul in which these chitim are bottled to the karka, and therefore their status is that of karka, and there's no din of onah. So Gemara immediately asks, "Seichi dami ilema di omar ihu?" If the mocher said to the buyer, "Shadoi beishita, Shadoi means I threw it, meaning I planted it into the ground. Shita means six. Here it's referring to sa'im. There's the value, the volume here of chita was six sa'im. And the lokeach purchased six sa'im. The asu sad v'yami delo shadibe elo chamisha. That he only actually planted five sa'im's worth. And that means that he deliberately cheated the buyer in terms of the sum of what he sold to him, the volume of what he sold to him. Va'amar Rav, in such a case, is kol davar shebemida, anything that's sold by volume or by mida is ubemishkal, or by weight, v'shebeminyan, or by number. Like, for example, I'm selling you 12 eggs and I only delivered you 11 eggs. Zafilu pachas mikdei onah. We don't need the dinim of onah. And that's already chozer. Then the chefetz goes back. This is what's called mekachtos, when there's a change in the identity of the object. In other words, we agreed on a transaction on object X and the mocher delivered object Y. Then there was never a chalos, kinyan, or mekach on object Y. And if I sold you a unit of six and I only delivered five, then forget about the dinim of onah. That's already a halacha of mekatos. And mekatos applies to karka just as well as metaltal. And it's the exclusion of karka, that's only with regard to the dinim of onah. But if there's bitul mekach, meaning there's mekatos, then there's no difference with regard to mekatos between metaltin and karkos. The din of mekatos applies equally to karka and to metaltin. There's no difference between karka and metaltin with regard to mekatos. Let's just mention a few things here. The suffix of the Gemara of Rava is limited to a case where the seeds have not taken root. If they've already taken root, then for sure they have a din of karka. And that would not be within the circle of Rava's Safek. I also want to point out that the Bach explains that according to the Tur, these chitin, these kernels of grains, were sold with the land, and that's why Rava has a Safek, because even though these wheat seeds haven't yet taken hashrasha, they haven't taken root, but nevertheless, they're bottled to the karka in one side of Rava's Safek, because he sold him the karka with the future wheat that's going to grow from these seeds. Also, I want to point out that this concept of bittul, where a person, by virtue of the fact that he planted these seeds in the ground, has no intention of taking it away from the ground, is nullified. It becomes subordinated, so to speak, to the karka, is something that we find in other areas of halacha, and you can change the status of a chefza from metalta to karka based on bittul. Ayin psachim mem hei o metalta hei o metbeis. Now again, why does Gemara assume that if he sold a certain five sos, that in such a case there would be mekachtos, because the seller did not plant that amount of seeds of six sows, and he only planted five sows instead of six sows. Since the agreement was to sell a specific amount, then if he doesn't deliver that amount, that's called a mekachtos, and the dinim of onah apply when they agreed to deliver a certain merchandise for a certain price, and he actually delivered that merchandise, but he overcharged him, or he was underpaid. But the object itself on which the kinyan was chal was actually delivered. That's the din of onah. But if, on the other hand, we're talking about the object not being delivered, there was an agreement on a certain object, then that's mekartos. Now, if you take a look at the Gemara's language here, it uses the word chozer. And Tosis assumes that if the if the wrong delivery, if there was a mistake in the delivery, in other words, the amount of merchandise that was delivered, then the sale can be voided completely. Which is interesting, because that's not the simple explanation of Chozer. And therefore, if you take a look in the Rambam, and possibly the Rashba, you get the impression that in this case, the Mocher has to make up for the discrepancy here, but the Lokeh could not void the sale. So if we had agreed that I deliver X and I delivered X minus Y, then the Lokeh can certainly demand that Y, but he cannot break up the Mecher. So would that be the case? It's not a classical kind of Mechav Tos, but it's certainly a Tos on the discrepancy. And the fact that it's Karka becomes irrelevant. So the Gemara says, Ella, what is the case upon which Rava had a Safek, dealing with the Safek? The Omar Iu, where the Mocher says, Lokeach, Shadoi Be Kidiboile. In other words, he doesn't mention a specific amount, you know, what kind of quantity of wheat kernels he actually planted, but he says in a general sense that I was Zorea, I planted as much as this area of Karka is suitable, is fit to for planting. V'gloi milsa, and then we find out later on, Dilo Shadabe Kidaboile, that he didn't put enough kernels in that area as he had promised to do, inadvertently. Let's say he didn't even do it b'chavona. And therefore, what we're dealing with here in this case is what we call umdun das. Umdun das means that, you know, there's room for error here. There's a margin of error, and that's what Ona is all about—a margin of error. And the suffix of Rava with regard to mechiras chitin is yesh bem Ona, ein bem Ona. Do we view these chitin as kiman deshadi bekadet dami? In other words, it's as if they're placed into a utensil, v'yeshav monah, odim batlinu agav arya, or they batel to the karka. In other words, the field has a capacity, what we would call a yield, and he, the mocher, says, I will sell you seeds that would produce the full yield of this piece of land. And at the end, we find out later on that he didn't put as much seeds as he could have. Now, if you take a look at the Lashon HaGemara, Kidi Iboila, which literally means the as much seed as the field needed. And this is different than the case where the seller had specified the amount of weeds he was selling. Here he's only selling enough seeds to plant in his field. Now, even though the seller, in a sense, falsified the truth, it's possible that he mistakenly believed it to be true, which is that comes under the halacha of umdin das, which is the halacha similar to onah. The error is based on some sort of a faulty estimate. And that's not called totes in the sense. So if we assume that these seeds are considered metaltolin, then although he has to make good for the discrepancy under the law of Onah, that's because we view it as kiman deshadi v'kada damya. We view these kernels of wheat as metaltolin, but if on the other hand we assume bittel, then it's karka. Excuse me, and the din of onah doesn't apply in this case. Now, if you take a look at Tosas, Dira Maskel Kol, he says that there could have been a more simple case where we could make this all contingent on whether the seeds are karka or metaltolin. For example, let's say the seeds themselves have a certain value in the market when you buy seeds. and he overcharged him, or he was underpaid for these seeds, and if we consider these seeds now as land because they're batel, and it's not subject to the law of Onah, if on the other hand we consider them the Taltalim, then there is a din of Onah. So if you take a look in Shita Mekubetzes, he's going to address the question as to why the Gemara didn't give this case, which seems to me the more simple and obvious case that Rava could have had a suffix about. So the Gemara says that the status of these kernels of wheat before they took root, before the Ashrasha, and the suffix of Rava is relevant to other areas. For example, Nishbayin Aleihem or Ein Nishbayin Aleihem. Right, when it comes to Karka, there's no Shvua on Karka. So what therefore would be the din if there was a modem and mixah situation on these kernels of wheat? And once again, the suffix would be command the shadi b'kad the dami nishbon aleim. They have the status of metaltalin and the subject to a shvua. O dilma, but linen agav argav ein nishbon aleim. They have a shame karka, and therefore there's no shvua. Now I mentioned the case of shvuas modem and mixas. There are the two other categories of shvuos. There's a shvuas hashomrim, and there's a shvuas ein echad. And if the tviya, the claim of the plaintiff is on land, on karka, then there's no chiv shvua. So the question is, these seeds, these kernels that were planted, but they didn't yet take hashrosha, is there a shvua, is there not a shvua? Rashi gives the example here of modem and mixas. For example, let's say you're in the case of schiris pol, and you hire a worker to plant your field. You give him six sows of seeds to plant, and then the worker, according to the Baal Bais's, the plaintiff's claim, only planted five sows. And the worker, the poel, admits that he planted five and a half sows, but he didn't plant the last half sow. So there's a question as to whether or not there's a modem and mixas hataina here in this case. Now this din of Einish Bar al-Karkos is derived in the Gemara Shvus Mem Beis from a klal prat u-klal, al-kol dvar pesh, al-shor, al-chamor, al-se, al-salma, al-kol al-feida, and all these are dobra metaltel. And let's just read the Rashi that we referred to before. Rashi says, Nishbon alem is about 10 lines up from the bottom of the Omud, im hodu v'mixas kigon, tono, paskis imi lizro vav, shemasarati l'cho, v'zorata chamesh, v'omer zorati chamesh, u'mechza. And the Rishonim are not so happy with this Rashi, because here the Tviya is clearly on the Zroim, it's not on the Karak at all. There was no transaction here on the karka. He paid the worker, he hired the worker to do work on the Zeroyim, not on the karka. Therefore, there certainly should be a chiyuv shvuah in this case. And the Rishonim offer an alternative to Rashi, that perhaps the suffix of Rava and Shvuas HaShomrim would be where a person demands from his friend a sadeh zruah. In other words, there was a planted field that was given over to the supervision of a shomer, and the Baal Bayis, the owner of the field, is tovea the shomer for pshia, and the nitba says, no, there was onus. And in that case, there certainly is a relationship between the kernels of wheat and the karka. He's basically a shomer on karka, but he's also a shomer on the wheat. And in the case of Shvuas Eid Echad, it would be a case where the aid testifies on behalf of the plaintiff that these kernels of wheat that were sown in the ground belonged to Reuven, the plaintiff, whereas Shimon, the defendant, claims, no, these are my chitim. How do we classify these chitim that are planted? Do we see them as karka or as metaltalin? The Gemara goes on to present a third relevancy to the suffix of Rava, and that is with regard to the din of Iser Chadash. Let's just read the Gemara inside. Let me just find the Gemara, just 1 second. Oh, here it is. Omer Matiron. Oh, Ein Omer Matiron. Right, we're about four lines up from the bottom of the daf. And the question is, the Torah in Vayikra Chaf Gimel establishes the matir of Havas HaOmer for the new crop. And it says, Devalechem v'koli v'karmel lo sochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh ad haviyachem es korban alokechem, which means that Tvuach Hadosha from this year's crop is prohibited until Havas HaOmer. And what would be the status of the wheat that was planted in the ground before the Omer was brought? Would the Omer be matir this wheat? Right? Would the Omer be matir this wheat? Omer matiron. Would the Omer now remove the Iser Chadosh, the Iser Achilas Chadosh? Oh, Ein Omer matiron. The Gemara understands that the suffix of Rava relates to the grains of wheat that will grow from these grains. Hechi dami ide ashrush. If the ashrusha took place before the Avos Omer Tanina, we have it in a Mishnah. And there's no reason for Rava suffix. And if e lo ashrush tanina, it's also explicit in the Mishnah. It's the Mishnah Menachos on Daf Ayin with regard to the 5 species of Dagon that are Asur Bachila Midin Chadosh. The Mishnah says, Imishrishu Kodim La Omer, Omer Matiron, Vim Lav, Asurim Achiyav Omer Abba. So everything depends upon Ashrosha. In fact, the Rabban Yoredeya says that our Chadosh Bisman HaZeh in Chutz Laaretz depends upon this suffix. I mean, it's a Sfek Sfeker, but one suffix is perhaps the Hashrosha took place before the Omer, even though the sale, you know, when it gets to the market for sale, that comes way after the Omer, but there was already Hashrosha before the Omer. If there's no Hashrosha before the Omer, then anything that grows from these seeds is Asur Bachil Midin Chadosh. Lo Tzricha, no. Rav's suffix was not with regard to the gidulim, to that which grows from these seeds, but rather dechatz dinhu vizarinu kodem liomer. In other words, he cut down these chitim and planted them before the omer. The asi le omer v'cholif alayu, now the havas omer passed, v'lo ashrush Kodim LaOmer. So let's just discuss this case of Chatzdinu to make sure that we have exactly the case. So we're talking about somebody who harvested kernels of grain and then he planted them before the Omer, and now the Omer passed. In other words, the Omer was brought, and these grains that were now planted did not have Hashrosha before the Omer. So again, the Omer could certainly have been matir these harvested grains, these kernels of wheat, because they're no longer part of the karka, they have a din of ochel. But once he puts it back into the karka, in essence he's reversing the process here. So we're no longer viewing it as food, but we're rather viewing it as karka, because now he's taking these kernels, which could be viewed as food, as ochel, and certainly would be subject to the matir of the omer, but he converts them into karka by planting them. But again, the planting took place and the ashrosha did not take place. Now we take a look on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Mahu Leminkat Umechel Minayu, can he now take these kernels out of the ground because they were once ochel and subject to the law of Heter HaOmer, or And that would be Keman Deshadya Bekada Damin. And we view these kernels, even after they were planted, as metaltalin, as ochel. Visharinu Omer, the Omer's Mati, the Modilma Batlinu Agav Ara. What should we see now? That they have the status of karka, and the shame ochel is paka, and therefore the Mati of the Omer is suspended and is inapplicable. Teku, and remains a suffek, which again I have to assume that it's a suffek doraisa l'chumra in isa v'heter as to whether or not there should be a matir. But on the other hand, the previous sfekos of Rava with regard to Ona and Shvua, those are treated as dinimominous, and therefore the suffek would be in favor of the muhtzak and amotzi mechaver al avarayah. So let's be crystal clear about one thing. Rava's suffek doesn't apply if the seeds would eventually, after the Omer, take root and grow. The food that grows there is chadash, because there was no ashrasha vis-a-vis, you know, the kernels that grow. There was no ashrasha before the Omer. Rava's suffek only applies to these kernels of grains themselves if he rips them out of the ground. Do we treat them in the same way as we would have treated them before they were planted? Or do we say, no, now if we ripped them out of the ground post Havas HaOmer, since they had a din of karka, therefore there was no mativ the Omer. The mativ the Omer is on Ochel and not on karka. So the Omer is matir anything that was harvested or at least took root before the Havas HaOmer. If we view these kernels that were planted before the Omer as if the Katsira had a permanent, irreversible impact on these kernels, then the Omer was mat to them, because there was already Katsira. And therefore the owner of the field desired to rip these kernels out of the ground and eat them. But if on the other hand we view them as batel to the karka, then we don't view them as chitim at all, but really as part of the karka, and there's no matir of the omer. At this point in the sugya, the Gemara, Rava goes back to the Mishnah of Eilu Dvarim, Shein Lem Ono, Avodim HaKarkos, Shtoros, Hekdeshos. Now the unique din of Ono applies to the case of a Shtus Mekach, but if it's more than a Shtus, if the overcharging was more than 1/6 of the value, that's called bitul mekach. Omar Rava, Omar of Chasa, Boy Rabbi Ami, Ona, Ein Lehem, bitul mekach, Yesh Lehem, O Ein Lehem. How do we treat an overpricing of more than 1/6 in the case of all these categories that were excluded from Ona? So if you're talking about the din of Ona, Vashtus, fine. There's no din of onah shtus in these cases, as we derive from the psukim. But if you're talking about bitul mekach, where the onah was more than a shtus, that might not be a subject or subcategorized under the dinim of onah. That might be bitul mekach, which applies to karka, for example, or hegdesh, just as well as it applies to metaltalin. Because bitul mekach doesn't necessarily have to be viewed as a din of onah generated by the parsha and the din of onah, but rather might be subsumed under the general universal halach of mekach tos. Now, on a deeper level, what this suffix of Rabbi Ami is really all about in terms of bitul mekach is how do we see bitul mekach in the case of Yosef Mishtus? What do I mean? If this is, you know, you can make a toast, you can say that there's a certain margin of error in a cheshbin, you know, up to 1/6 of its value, but at the point in which it's more than 1/6, that's what we call a toast, not in cheshbin, but rather in dmei amekach. And this you'll see in Rashi, Dibra Maskel Yesh, which is about 10 lines down from the top, mi amrinon mi altonu hudimiyat. Shall we say that the case of Yesem Ishtus is subsumed under Onoah, these cases were excluded from Onoah. Or shall we say that it's a Mekach Tos? Now Rashi explains the Tzad to say that this is under the category of Onoah. Odilma Keva Delav Dorisha Bemidahu Velo Atye Bidibure Kishar Dini Onoahu. Shall we say that there's a room for margin of an error even beyond the Shtus? We're not talking about a shinui, a change in the identity of the object, which would be a davarship and mida. You know, as I told you, I was giving you X and I gave you Y, or the merchandise had so many items or weighed so much and he gave him less. But we're rather talking about atye bidibure. Now, Rashi's language of atye bidibure, I think, means that this also can be viewed as a kind of tos within the context of the mecher. Lo hit eu bidvarav, he didn't deliberately mislead him and tell him that he's giving one object and he gave another object, to say that if he would have said to him explicitly that what I'm selling you is worth on the market X, and that was an outright lie, because it wasn't worth X, it was worth more than a sixth less than X, that would certainly be mekartos. But they never discussed the market value, so that there was a certain error, and one could see that as an error of tos bidmea chefetz. And it tells Bidmea Chefetz, that is the classical case of Onoah. So one could say, again, arguing that there would be Onoah in this case, that the exaggerated price that he was paying, that he was demanding, let's say in the case of Nis'ana Alokeh, indicates that this is not the object that's being sold, because the object being sold is not anywhere near this price. So there's such a gross, exaggerated error in the value of the price, that's really mekartos. So do you say no, that even though it went a little bit beyond the sixth, maybe in that case we can see this not as an exaggeration and a shinui achefetz, but rather some sort of cheshbon, some sort of tos b'cheshbon. Now again, we're going to have to see at what point does it get ridiculous. Let's say he charged him double of what it's worth. You know, maybe that for sure would come under Mekartos and would apply even to Karkos. That's going to come down the line of Yirtzeh Hashem. Amar Rav Nachman, Hadar Amar Rav Chasa, Poshit Rabbi Abba Onoah Ein Lehem Bitul Mekach Yesh Lehem. So according to this transmission, Rabbi Ami came to the final conclusion after his suffix that there would be bitul mekach in a tos of more than a shtus, and that would apply not only to metaltalim but to karkos and avodim as well. And tos v'siyah d'ira maskil omar on the top of the amud, and many other rishonim understand that from the logic, from the language of Rav Nachman, that there is, Rav Nachman himself agrees that there's bitul mekach in karkos and yosem ishtus. He's saying it in the name of Rav Chasa, who is his Rebbe, and therefore presumably he agrees. And that presents a problem because of another statement of Rav Nachman later on Daf Kuf Ches in this Masechta, with regard to someone who sells karka that was worth masayim. I'm sorry, he sells it at the price of Masayim of 200, and it turns out to be worth only 100. And Rav Nachman insists that in that case there's no Onoah because he was selling him real estate, and the Mekach is Kayim because ain't Onoah but Karkos. And there he double charged him, so it's certainly more than a Shtus. And certainly Rav Chasa, the Rebbe of Rav Nachman, would insist that in such a case is Bitul Mekach even in Karkos. And Tosfos and other Rishonim try to reconcile this by saying that Bitul Mekach of Rav Nachman and Kuf Ches, that only applies if the Onoah was equivalent to 50% of the value of the mekach. In the case of Shava Mana B'Masayim, and in that case we have Bittul Mekach, but there in Kuf Ches, where Rav Nachman applies the principle of Eino Noah B'Karkos, we're talking about a case where the Mekach was a little bit more than Chatzi. So even though it says Mana B'Masayim, it means 99 B'Masayim, and that's more than half. I'm sorry, not that I made a mistake. That the mekach is worth a little bit more than a mana. I meant to say, I said 99. I meant to say 101. So if the mekach is worth a little bit more than chetzi, then it comes under the law of onah. So exactly at the point when it's mechtzis, that's when he double charges him 100% more, meaning he charges him 200%. That's when the halacha here of Rav Chassa applies, and even Rav Nachman agrees, that's called bittul mekach. Now the Baal HaMor is of the opinion, I'll just read you one line in the Baal HaMor, afil b'machtzis ha-mekach mamish ein onah, if it was exactly double as no onah, but only if the onah was yoser b'machtzis ha-mekach, then yesh ba-din onah. That Asug is not talking about a case of something that's worth 100 and he charged him 200, but rather something that's worth 100 and he charged him 201. That's against Tosus. Tosus says if it's 100 and he charged him 200, that's bittul mekach. Whereas the sugya of Nachman on Kuf Ches is talking about a case where it's worth 101 and he charged him 200. The Gemara now mentions other opinions on this issue. Rabbi Yonah Omar Ahekdeshos, that the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which again we're going to get to in a minute, is referring to Hekdeshos. Rabbi Yirmi Omar Akarkos, the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that we're about to learn, is referring to Karkos. Vitravayu, both Amoraim, whether it's Rabbi Yonah or Rabbi Yirmiya, Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan Omru, they had a statement that they transmitted the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Na Ein Lahem Bittul Mekach Yesh Lahem, that the law of Yosef Ishtus to be Mavatul Mech applies, and Rabbi Yochanan apparently, it's questionable what Lahem refers to, what was he referring to. According to Rabbi Yonah, he was referring to Hekdeshos, that if there's a cheating here of more than a Ishtus, then the law of Bittul Mekach applies as a Mekach Tos to Hekdeshos. And Rabbi Yirmi assumed that Rabbi Yochanan said this not only with regard to Hekdesh, but even with regard to Karka. Mandi, I'm going to Rabbi Yonah, who assumed that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to Hekdeshos. And therefore, even though with regard to Hekdesh, which is Maman Gavoah, belongs to Hashem, you can't talk about Tos, nevertheless, he holds that Mekach Tos is objective and applies even to Hekdeshos, as Kol Shkein HaKarkos. How much more so in the case of Karka, where he certainly cheated the Lokeach, the Mekach is Bata. So that's according to Rabbi Yonah, who said that even in Hekdeshos, we apply the Din of Bittul Mekach if it's a fraud of more than a sixth. But mind the Omer, but according to Rabbi Yirmiya, is HaKarkos, in the case of Karka, where there's an application of what we call Tos, which is Mekach Tos, therefore there's Bittul Mekach, like Deshos, there's no natural application of Tos here with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with regard to Hekdesh, which is owned by Hashem. Lo, Rabbi Yochanan would say that the halacha of Mekach Tos doesn't apply, and therefore, since we say there's no onah in the case of Hekdeshos, then according to Rabbi Yirmiya's version of Rabbi Yochanan, there's no bittul mekach in the case of Hekdeshos. Everybody agrees that Rabbi Yochanan would apply the concept, the law of bittul mekach in Yosef Ishtus to Karkos. The machlokas is, would Rabbi Yochanan go as far as to apply bittul mekach in the case of Hekdeshos, where the whole concept of tos is inapplicable? And the Gemara now assumes in the next presentation that Kidishmuel, that this svara that we said in Rabbi Yirmiya, that there's no tos or bitul mekach in Yosef Mishtus in Hegdeshos, that's based on Shmuel. The Omer Shmuel, Hegdesh Shavamona, Shechilalo, Al Shavapruta, Mechulal. That if a person takes an object that has the status of Hegdesh and he wants to be Mechal the Hegdesh onto another object, which he can do because we're talking about Berek Habayis, which is Mamon Kinyan Gavoah, and that's subject to the law of Chilul, but it turns out that the object upon which he's being Mechal the Hegdesh is worth a considerably lesser amount than the object of Hegdesh itself. Ishmuel says that the Chilul is valid, and the reason for that is because Hegdesh was excluded from the law of Onah, and not only that, even the law of Bittul Mekach, of Mekach Tos, is inapplicable because there's no Tos Klapei Hashem. So Rabbi Yirmiya clearly is standing on the shoulders of the Svara of Shmuel. But now, the Gemara is going to ask a stira from Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Yochanan, and we'll see if we can take a pause here for a minute. If we have time, we'll continue this. Nan Hasam, we have a Mishnah Masechta Tmura in the case of a person who's Mechalel a Behemas Hegdesh, which was not a Balas Mum, it was a Tmima, and it was therefore suitable to be brought on the Mizbeach, and he was Memir, he was Mechal this onto a Behemas Chulin, and that's not valid. That's completely Loas of a Lo Klum, because an animal that's Re'uil Mizbeach cannot be Mischalel, it cannot be Yotzi L'chulin. But Im Hoya Kodesh Balmum, if this Behemas Hegdesh was a Balas Mum, then Yotzi L'chulin and the Chilu works. And this applies even if the Behemas Hegdesh was worth a heck of a lot more than the animal upon which he was Mechal on, the Chilu is still valid, but Vitzarech Lasos Lo Domim, he, the Mechalel, has to make up the discrepancy, the difference, he has to pay Hegdesh the difference in price. In other words, the increment of the Behemoth Hegdesh that he was Mechalel above and beyond the value of the animal upon which he was Mechalel, that Chisaron to Hegdesh has to be compensated. And now there's Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish as to how to interpret this Mishnah. Now keep in mind, we are now presenting one particular transmission of what Rabbi Yochanan held and what Reish Lakish held. As we'll see, the sugya unfolds, the Gemara is going to have an epoch and maybe turn around the sheet, so let's not get too used to it. Hamar Rabbi Yochanan, Yotza L'chulu, when the Mishnah says that the Chilul on Pachas Mishavyo is valid, that's Dvar Torah. And what does it mean that on a Daraisa level, since the Parsha of Hegdesh was excluded from Onah, then when the Mishnah says Tzarech Lasos Lo Domim, he has to reimburse Hegdesh for the loss, Midivreyim, that's only Takonis Chachamim. Because on a Daraisa level, since Hegdesh was excluded from Onah, the fact that not only the Chilul as an act of Chilul HaHegdesh, of the Kedusha of the object, that that's valid, but even as far as paying any discrepancies, the Hegdesh was not cheated, so to speak. There's no fraud to Hegdesh, there's no Onah in Hegdesh. And that, of course, would support what we saw earlier in the transmission of Rabbi Yirmiya, that Rabbi Yirmiya said that any kind of bittul mekach is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is only applicable to karka, but not to hegdesh. There's no tos in hegdesh. Reish Lakish Amar af tzarech lasos lo domim in haTorah. Not only is the din of onah applicable to hegdesh, but therefore paying the discrepancy is a doraisa law. And Rashi here introduces a special gzeiras hakosuv to justify the conclusion of Reish Lakish, and he bases himself on the pasuk of Vayikrach of Zion. The Torah says Erkecha. So if you take a look at Rashi in the wide lines, the second of the wide lines, Af Tzorech Lasos Lo Domim Dvar Torah, says Rashi in explaining Reish Lakish, the Gabi Hegdeshos Erkecha Ksiva, bekulu v'kasavar erkecha shovyo mashma. Now it seems from Rashi that this derivation of Reish Lakish from the word erkecha of shovyo mashma is a separate halach. It's not a condition in the chilul itself. The Mishnah, after all, says yotza l'chulin, which means that the Torah validates this chilul, even though it's on something less than shovyo. But there's a separate chovas gavra to pay, a chovas moment to pay hegdesh under the law of erkecha, and it could be that this halach of erkecha would apply even if the hefresh, even if the difference between the value of the behemoth hegdesh and the value upon which he was mechalel that behemoth, that would be pachas mishir. Maybe it's less than a shir of bittul mekach. It's still, even though it's less than a shtus, it might come under the halacha of erkecha. Or shall we say, and this is going to be clarified a little bit later on in the sugya, that if it's less than a shtus, then you don't have to pay the difference to Hegdesh, according to Torah law. That's going to be the opinion later on of Rav Chisda, because just like in the case of a hedjot, less than a shtus is not considered a mekachtos, in other words, it's not a violation of ke'erkecha, so too the same thing should apply to Hegdesh. But the Achronim are bothered why Rashi feels compelled to introduce a drasha, a new drasha to explain Reish Lakish deriving from Erkecha. It doesn't appear anywhere in Shas. But before we get to that question, let's just mention that Rashi at the end of this Dibra Maskil goes back to Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, Rabbi Yochanan Savar Erkecha Kol Domim Shiachri. Erkecha is a ribui that Kol Domim Shiachri Shiachuhu Mashmale Im Zil Im Yoker. So that Rabbi Yochanan is not impressed by this word erkecha. Whatever you pay and whatever you use to transfer it, that's valid. But again, I just want to emphasize that according to Reish Lakish, the way Rashi seems to formulate it, we have a kind of a tzvei dinim, a kind of two halachas. We have one halacha in chiul and another halacha in terms of an obligation to reimburse hegdesh for any loss that comes under the halacha of erkecha, and it's derived from that pasuk. Now, Rashi, as we saw, according to the pasuk erkecha, is rejecting what could have been the pashtus that this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish revolves around the question of bittul mekach, whether bittul mekach in the case of Yosef Mishtus is included under the general halacha of Onoah and Hekdeshes were excluded from Onoah or not, or it comes under a separate category of mekach tos. And that's the way we explained earlier the suffix of Rabbi Ami. True that Rabbi Ami finally came to the conclusion that there is a halacha of bittul mekach in Hegdesh, because that comes not under the halacha of Onoah, but under the separate category, the universal category of Mekach Tos, and that applies even to Hegdesh. That was the final conclusion of Rabbi Ami, but nevertheless, it is possible that Rabbi Yochanan here argues that there's no halacha of Bittul Mekach with regard to Hegdeshos, and that was indeed the half amin of Rabbi Ami. But Rashi doesn't seem to want to take that path. And here there's a chiddush of the Beis Aaron, Rav Aaron Volkin, and he wants to say that Rashi was bothered that if the reasoning of Reish Lakish is that midoraisa, you have to add these dumb and make up that increment, because the halacha of Bittul Mekach, of Rabbi Ami that we saw before, then the chil itself should not be valid. Because how can you say that something with regard to hedjot is completely batel, and you want to apply that to hegdesh and then validate the chilul? The Mishnah seems to indicate clearly, and Reish Lakish can't deny this, that the chilul is chal, meaning it's a valid chilul, just that it has to be most of the domim to make up the discrepancy. And therefore, Rashi is compelled to interpret that this Reish Lakish, the reasoning of Reish Lakish, is not based on bittul mekach, but rather on the pasuk of Ke'erkecha. And the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish revolves around the case of the drasha of Erkecha and how to interpret it. Now the Gemara is going to embark upon an entire analysis of what the case exactly is about which we have this Mishnah in Masechet Tmur in the Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, how to interpret that Mishnah. So Bli Neder, we'll pick that up in the next year.